Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, November 23rd, 2018. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 161, the second full paragraph, beginning... But Life Among Alcoholics Anonymous. We'll study just that one paragraph today. Our readers today are Penny L.C. reading the 12 Steps, Marissa E. reading the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Julie E.B. and Libby E. The reference numbers for yesterday and this morning, yesterday's Thursday 10 a.m. meeting, the ID is 12,215, 12215. And for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting, the reference number is 12,218 or 12218. And our newcomer greeter today is Gina R. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Penny L.C. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Kathy, and thank you for your service. Good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to the outside, to other compulsive overeaters, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you, Penny L.C. And Marissa E., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA for us?
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, my fellows. This is Marissa E. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such will never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name will never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thank you, Marissa E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 161, the second full paragraph. And I will ask Julie E.B. to get us started.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado. But life among Alcoholics Anonymous is more than attending gatherings and visiting hospitals, cleaning up old scrapes, helping settle family differences, explaining the disinherited son to his irate parents, lending money, and securing jobs for each other when justified. These are everyday occurrences. No one is too discredited or has sunk too low to be welcomed cordially, if he means business. Social distinctions, petty rivalries and jealousies, these are laughed out of countenance. Being wrecked in the same vessel, being restored and united under one God, with hearts and minds attuned to the welfare of others, the things which matter so much to some people no longer signify much to them. How could they? Again, I'm Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today. You know, this is just yet another reminder that life still happens. It's not enough to just show up, at a meeting, to just show up and tell a newcomer. This is about caring and getting into people's lives, cleaning up old scrapes, family differences. I mean, how many outreach calls yesterday were placed and received? I know in the group me outreach line, you know, around family differences and the way they leave us feeling sore and the resentments we need to discharge and the fears that we need to turn over to our higher power for God reliance and the harms, the words we said we wish we hadn't said, and the actions we took. It's a program that is everyday occurrences, cares more than just are you in or out of the food, because we don't have a food problem, as our fellows so like to say. We have a life problem, and so we need to be a life solution together. No one is too discredited or sunk so low. I remember calling someone in program and telling them, you know, about something that I had done. I'd been stealing food from work, and it seemed ridiculous. The $2 was all about resentment, as it turned out. But they said, oh, yeah, I did that. And I was ready to do something different. And so if you think you're better or worse than anyone on the line, if I think I'm better or worse than anyone on the line, this is laughed out of countenance. You know, out of countenance means to be ashamed, to be ashamed. And so right where our deepest shame is, there's some laughter, some understanding laughter. It makes no sense whatsoever to try and live the way the rest of the world lives, because now we're all wrecked in the same vessel, the same disease, and we can all be restored and united as one with the same solution, hearts and minds attuned to the welfare of others. You know, every day when I ask God to remove my character defect of self-seeking and teach me how to be the opposite. And I looked it up. It was altruism, giving without expectation of return. This is the kind of giving that's going on here. The things which matter so much to some people, which for me used to be keeping score, better than, worse than, now I'm just love to growing, unfolding child of the universe. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B., for getting us started this morning. Okay, who would like to share today?
Marin K.
Marin K.
Wendy M.
Wendy M.
Penny L.C.
Penny L.C.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Katie F.
Katie F. How about one more?
Sandy F.
Sandy F. Okay,
Sandy.
Great. Right, Sandy F. So I have Marin K., Wendy M., Penny L.C., Roz G., Katie F., and Sandy S. Please get us started, Marin.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thank you, Melanie, for the meeting. In this paragraph where it says, being wrecked in the same vessel, being restored and united under one God, with hearts and minds attuned to the welfare of others, these things which matter so much to some people no longer signify much to them. How could they? You know, in my years of being in the program for 24 years, you know, I really realized this, like, for instance, this Thanksgiving, I was with my dad, who's 95, and my mom, who's 90. I was a 60-pound anorexic, 10-time-a-day bulimic. OA, along with outside help, saved my life. OA really saved my life. And the God that I found in OA saved my life. And, you know, we're all the same. We all have an eating disorder. We all have different types of eating disorders. But I could be with my father and mother last night. I care about my parents. I never did. It's about the welfare of others. I mean, I work the program both within the meetings as I do outside the meetings. You know, money, property, and prestige, I can get into that, but you know what? None of that ever fixed anything. There's only one thing that I can say, and that is that the meetings, the sponsorship, the sponsees, my sponsees saved me. Having a program is the only thing in my life that I've done for 24 years. I've never left. I do it imperfectly. but it's the one thing that has stabilized my life. And this big book is my Bible. So thank you all for reading and commenting on the big book so I can take notes. And thank you all for being here. I'm very grateful to every one of you. Thanks for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Marin K. Wendy M., please share with us.
Yes, good morning. It's Wendy M., recovered, not hungover. Thank you, God. Here in Boulder, Colorado, and thank you, Kathy A., for your service, everybody on the line. So what I see in this paragraph is what I call recovered thinking. So recovered is I don't think the way I used to think. I don't act the way I used to act. I don't eat the way I used to eat, especially on Thanksgiving. That was just such a miracle yesterday. So, and it says here, and it's also a restoration to our thinking, step two, you know, like restored to thinking, which is huge because the disease is between my ears. And it talks about petty rivalries. So I spent most of my life jealous of my younger sister, highly competitive with my younger sister, acting superior. Thank you for my fellows who showed me that. Acting superior to my older sister. And when my mom comes into town, which she's into town, you know, I would keep score. I would show evidence that I've been harmed. I would count the hours that my mother spent with my sister versus me, all of it, right? Full on diseased thinking, full on. And all it got me was small and tight and feeling horrible about myself ultimately, right? So this time around, what's happened is I've decided to let that go with the help of all of you, with all the phone calls. And, you know, petty is, how important is it? And I think about this a lot when I'm trying to be right in a situation or, you know, show more evidence that I am right. And all it leads me to is no serenity, right? So now what I do, you know, is I bring her a bouquet of roses last night to her home. And then I come early and I help and I hang out and I ask her kids questions. I get involved. I ask her questions. I have, you know, compassion for her. And, you know, when she texts me things that aren't going well with her, instead of getting, you know, not being kind, I write, I believe in you. That's like my new slogan. Every time I get back to her, it's I believe in you. Now, what is that? That's not me. That's the grace of God. This is not Wendy, competitive, jealous girl. This is loving, totally tapped into God. And God's like, yay, keep writing her that you believe in her. Yes, keep telling her wonderful things about her. And you know what that does for me? It frees me up from the bondage of my own self. It frees me up. And the last thing I'll say is, it says welcome to everybody here. We welcome everyone. No perfectionism, you know. And if I have to be perfect, you've got to be perfect. And I have expectations, which are really planned resentments, right? So for today, if you've got to be perfect and I've got to be perfect, this is not a good thing. This is not an open, God is nowhere in sight. And when I don't have to be perfect today, and I can welcome you with all of your everything and welcome myself with all of my everything to completely accept all of me, not just the pretty parts, everything, that's God. That's the freedom we get. And we can welcome ourselves, welcome the differences between ourselves, and know that we're here on God's errand. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy M. Penny LC, please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. And again, good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, gratefully recovered in the state of Washington, and a compulsive overeater, no doubt. Drilling down on being wrecked in the same vessel, being restored and united under one God with hearts and minds attuned to the welfare of others. You know, that's such a wonderful literary synopsis of our fellowship. You know, we come together in the commonality of our disease, broken, desperate, you know, and we find that there is a possibility of a solution. We hear others that have walked a path of recovery and have recovered, and we find hope. And we are restored and united. each of us finding the higher power that works for us. And then we can all be united in the sense of knowing that we are there for each other, walking hand in hand. No one no better, no one no worse. We all are just trudging, or I like to say skipping the road together, knowing that we can do today what we could not do alone. And that power and that strength that comes when we're united is something that's pretty incredible. And we have unitedness in the purpose, in our purpose, which is to spread this word, to give back what we have been given so lovingly, so graciously. And I was grateful to be able to focus on being of service and be able to have the time and the desire to take a long string of phone calls yesterday and to send out a long string of texts and know that I was blessed in return, probably tenfold, by doing that. But it was a support network that we have for each other. And I am so blessed by that. And thank you all for being part of it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny LC. Roz G., please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. This is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. And if it weren't for the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous, I would have been at the mall at 4 or 5 a.m. in an insane crowd of people, spending money that I don't have, and being hung over from too much food and probably going out for breakfast to get more. I'm here at a meeting, walking my dogs, looking at the beautiful blue sky and the sunshine. And I say that, you know, I want to get back down to this paragraph. You know, I've heard so many beautiful shares about Thanksgiving, and mine was so beautiful yesterday because, just like an earlier share, I spent my life being jealous of my eldest sister. It's just within the past 2 years that I got through that, through the fourth and fifth steps and the ninth. And I was just jealous of her because she could always get men and I could not, and she was pretty and I'm not, she's skinny and I'm not, all of that. And I've gotten past all that. And I continue to, one day at a time. And being there yesterday and being able to take selfies with my sister and her husband and just rejoice in the family gathering. And then when it comes to people who have not sunk too low, I'm very judgmental and very critical. I have to check myself on that still to this day. It's getting a lot better. But I remember I was in an open AA meeting once, and they were having a group conscience about a member that was, you know, kind of doing some shady things. And there was some back and forth. And what it came down to was that everybody is welcome in Alcoholics Anonymous. Nobody's not welcome. And I'm sure there's exceptions to the rule if it comes to danger, you know, when it gets down to stuff that's breaking the law. But basically, you know, we're all here for the same reason. We're something about the playing field is leveled with us. And that teaches me, who always thought I was better than everybody else, that I'm no better than everybody else, that I am simply the bozo on the bus like everybody else. And that I could look, sorry for the dogs in the background. I could just be with my family yesterday, look at their faces, listen to them, and not wallow in my own misery, which I did a lot of Thanksgivings, but not yesterday. And so today's another day. I can't live on yesterday's victories. I just have to remain God conscious today, gun conscious. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. KDF, please share with us.
Good morning. This is KDF, a recovered compulsive overeater. And let me get my timer going here. Yes, I just, I really like this paragraph, and I really like the part that says, no one is too discredited or has sunk too low to be welcomed cordially if he means business, because I'm someone who had been coming to the rooms for, you know, what felt like a really, really, really long time, because I was only 26 years old when I got abstinent. I was 27 when I got abstinent, but I came to my very first meeting when I was 14 and came back when I was 21 and had been in the rooms for, you know, just, you know, all the time, just going to meeting and meeting and meeting, and I just could not get it. I was just that person that just could not stay abstinent. And so if there was some sort of rule about the number of times you could start over, then where would I be today? You know, now I'm gratefully been abstinent for 3 decades, and my life is completely different than what it was at 27. And not because I'm older, but because of this program. And, you know, we just know, you just don't know when someone is really ready. And I don't try to figure that out. When someone asks me to be their sponsor, you know, sometimes they can seem so desperate and so ready and so done, and then they're gone in 2 days. And then the one who seems, you know, somewhat skeptical, you know, I've been working with for ages. So I don't try to be the one who decides whether someone is desperate, dying, and doomed. I just make myself available and share what worked for me. You know, and my what worked for me isn't exactly the same as what maybe worked for, you know, someone else on this line. But all I can share is my own experience, strength, and hope. And, you know, I'm so grateful to have all of you and all of the instructions in this book, because, you know, I have to say, yesterday wasn't my best Thanksgiving. I mean, I ate abstinently, and I didn't, you know, burn any bridges and cause any major havoc, but I just was a little bit out of sorts a couple of times yesterday, and I didn't like it. But, you know, I made calls, and I worked through it, and I talked to my sponsor about it this morning, and she reminded me, you know, to let go of my ego and my pride and to press into God, and, you know, I feel completely different today and just glad I don't have to, you know, I'm not wreaking some new havoc. But I'm just really grateful to be here, and with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Katie F. Sandy S., please share with us.
Hi, this is Sandy S. from Asheville, recovering. I'm really recovered, rather. Just really grateful to this vision group. You know, I think the thing that got me was what matters much to other people doesn't matter as much to us. I'd say one of the things that really has always mattered to me is like being the best at everything. You know, it's a sure way to be miserable, you know, and, you know, achieving and looking great and being popular. You know, I'm not really great at any of those. I'm definitely not the best. And, you know, those were the things that really signified a lot to me. And now there's only one thing really that signifies anything to me, and that's really experiencing God consciousness and being abstinent. I mean, I don't feel you can have one without the other. So I'm just grateful for this group, because this is the first group where I feel like I'm in a community of people who genuinely want to experience God in their lives in terms of the way they behave, not in terms of what they say, but just really experience being a loving, caring person to myself, which is the hardest thing to person to be loving towards, and to others. And, you know, and I'm experiencing that. You know, yesterday was not a great Thanksgiving for me either, emotion-wise. I felt empty. I felt disconnected. I felt bored. I felt like I was just assaulted with these emotions. And the beauty of it is, you know, I could do a 10-step. I didn't do one at the time, which is something I definitely could do better. I did one later that night. And the beauty is that those feelings weren't reflected in my behavior. When I look at my behavior, I was loving, I was relating to people, I was interested in them. You know, I can have now distressing feelings, have no idea why sometimes, and just know to take the right action. And that's what signifies a lot to me. God working in my life. There's nothing more, there's no achievement, there's no anything that comes close to that. And I'm so grateful to be in a community where others place that as their priority. It inspires me. And I can say today, I feel happier than I've ever felt. Not that I have great feelings all the time, or not that I even have to have a great feeling to feel happy. I know that God will use the negativity to even raise me higher. I just know that. I don't have to get sunk by any negativity anymore. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sandy S. Okay, I can take another list of people who want to share.
Sima M.
Sima M.
Linda G.
Linda G.
Marissa E.
Marissa E.
Pam T.
Pam T. We could take one or two more.
Paula N.
Paula N.
Beatrice O.
Okay, thank you, Beatrice O. Okay, we'll stop there. So we have Sima M., Linda G., Marissa E., Pam T., Paula N., and Beatrice O. Please get us started, Sima.
Hi, this is Sima M., grateful compulsive overeater living in recovery. I just want to, before I go, is the paragraph starting with now this house?
No, but life, no, the next.
But life, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I like what it says here, but life among alcoholics is more than attending gatherings and visiting hospitals. And at first, being a compulsive overeater was like, well, we never visit hospitals. And then I was thinking, you know, maybe we should visit hospitals. People are very sick from compulsive overeating also. They go to rehab. People go for surgery. And I was thinking, I feel like they're being abandoned. They're not getting the message. And perhaps that's not a good thing. Also, one thing I wanted to share from yesterday is they were talking about phone calls, and I remembered how isolated I was because I didn't have a telephone growing up. And I was thinking about, maybe God wanted me to not have a telephone so that I wouldn't, so that when I finally did get one, I would use it for the purpose of connecting with other compulsive overeaters, because now the telephone is my biggest companion. So I used to feel sorry for myself that I didn't have a telephone and I couldn't have friends, but the friends that I have now were worth waiting for, and with that I pass.
Hello? Hello?
Okay, now I can hear you. Linda?
Yes, for some reason I couldn't hear. Hi, this is Linda G. from Massachusetts. And I love this paragraph, especially about being shipwrecked in the same vessel and then being restored and united under one God with hearts and minds attuned to the welfare of others, etc. Where I live, on an island off of Cape Cod. The only way I can leave here is by airplane or boat. And all the OA meetings folded a long time ago, and any other food meeting, they're gone. So when I get on these lines, and sometimes I'm on for all three meetings, I see myself as I am in the room of miracles. I am in the room of miracles. And I just can't say enough about being a part of the visionary family. So I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. And yesterday, I've had in 38 years, when I came into a different program, I've had, I would say, 1,000 day ones and 100 sponsors and a stint in a hospital for my food addiction or compulsive overeating. And but yesterday, and I know I'm still in today, was my 15th Thanksgiving that I was abstinent. And I was at, I went to an Alkathon because all my recovered family in different programs were off the island. And it was just beautiful. I mean, I was able to eat my abstinent food, and I was sitting at a table with people I've known, and everybody's going, look at her. She doesn't eat flour and sugar. How do you do that? Blah, 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 blah. But you know, it's a miracle. So I can say is I just love a vision. I love what I'm learning here, and I have hope that I will be somebody who can say I have. It doesn't matter, and it's but that I am recovered. That I am going to get there. Yesterday was. My mother came into AA on Thanksgiving, and she died when she was 42 years sober. But I remember her saying that little jingle, rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief, that she finally met an Indian chief in her rooms of miracles. And she said it was amazing that she had met everybody in that jingle. So thank you very much, Linda from Massachusetts.
Thank you, Linda G. Marissa E., please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, my fellows. This is Marissa E., recovered compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. Looking at the text, this line, no one is too discredited or has sunk too low to be welcomed cordially, if he means business, right? And then even a couple of pages before that, when they were carrying the message to Bill D., he says, I'm ready to do business, right? And so when I started with my sponsor that I met through Vision, she asked me two questions. She said, are you done? And are you willing to go to any length? And I feel like, you know, she could have also, and we can all say, are you ready to do business? Right? And I looked up because, you know, Little Miss Dictionary. And business, you know, there's all these definitions, but, you know, what I related to was work that has to be done or matters that have to be attended to. Right? And when I said yes, I'm done. Yes, I'm willing to go to any lengths. I meant, yes, I'm willing to do the work, right? I'm willing to attend to these matters. And, you know, so what does that look like in recovery, right? Before I was in OA and, you know, hearing people share about holidays and Thanksgiving, right? It was me kind of blurring the lines on abstinence, right? It was me eating and then just sitting on the couch. It was me, right, sitting in envy and jealousy of my sisters. And then, you know, doing business yesterday meant weighing and measuring my food, holding on to babies while everybody else was eating and being of service, and then helping my aunt and uncle clean up, right? And happily, right? We hear that on the lines. I did so happily.
because I'm ready to do business. I mean business. I do not want to go back to blurring those lines. I don't want to go back to not being of service. I don't want to go back to envying and being jealous of my sisters. Right? I used to hate holidays because I was so self-conscious. Was I either up or down on the scale? And what was I going to wear? And yesterday, it was just, you know, with the help of my higher power and these steps and putting the food down and being willing to do business, it really was just another Thursday that I got to celebrate with my family. And so I'm just so, so grateful, right, for these things, for these phrases, for this emphasis, right? You have to be willing to be done and to go to any lengths. And I'm just grateful that my higher power gave me that. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Marissa E. Pam T., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Pam T. in Los Angeles. And I, too, want to express my gratitude for this meeting. I am somebody who's been in the program a long time and wasn't going to meetings very much because I couldn't find people that really had what I wanted. And this group does. And so I listen most mornings and have committed to sharing more. So this is my second time this week, and it feels good. In meditation, I decided that I did not want to go to my family's for Thanksgiving. I could have, but circumstances being what they were, it made more sense for me to stay home and to work. And that's what I did, and it was a very calm and quiet and introspective with my husband, and talked about some important things that we're grateful for and the separating between what's expected of us and what we need to do, even though it's expected of us, and what we want to do. And I'm finding there's a lot of room in there between what I think I have to do and what I want to do, and it feels really good. And I'm just fine going to work today. I work retail, so I'm going to get there and be with everybody else out there in the retail market, taking all this inspiration with me. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam T. Paula N., please share with us.
Hi, I'm Paula N., a compulsive nighttime eater. That's what I know for right now. I was just sitting here thinking about two times that I was in a meeting, and one of them was somebody who looked like they had come in from being homeless and who said the most profound thing in the meeting, and it showed me right away not to look at people and expect what my mind wants to tell me to expect. And also another time when there was this woman who was just dressed to the nines, and I said to her, what do you do for a living? And she said, honey, I clean houses. And it was just kind of like, you just can't look at somebody and judge them. But I was so taught, and I've really been thinking and working on this lately, so taught to judge people either better than or worse than. And I think that just comes from growing up in a home where addiction was rampant. And I've really been concentrating mostly on the less than, but I just, as I was sitting here listening to everybody today, that less than doesn't just go for me looking at somebody else. That less than then is what I look at myself as. It's like I measure my own self and my own self-worth by these crazy standards that my family put up to make themselves look better or feel better. I don't know really. I mean, in the long run, it really didn't work because we still dealt with the addiction. I'm just grateful that there's a program that I can call, and I'm learning, and I'm fairly new to this, and so I'm glad that you're all here. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Paula. And Beatrice O., please share with us.
Thank you. This is Beatrice O. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you, Beatrice.
Okay, great. I just wanted to say I'm really grateful to be abstinent. Yesterday, was, you know, really just another day. But I saw my son cooking, and they'd been cooking all day, and we arrived, and I just remember he reminded me of me and what I used to do. Anyway, here in the book it says, you know, but life among alcoholics is more than attending gathering and visiting hospitals. I used to go to some AA meetings where they had people who were in the first, I guess, 30 days of alcoholism, and they don't have anything in the Bay Area for recovering food addicts or any hospitals that are nearby, and if they are, they're pretty far. I've been in treatment for compulsive overeating, and when I was in treatment in Florida, they would bring in alcoholics to share with us. But yesterday for me was beautiful. I used to hear this saying that said, "A grateful heart doesn't eat." And I never understood it. I had a really hard time understanding what they meant when they said, "A grateful heart doesn't eat." And yesterday, I had a really grateful heart that I wasn't eating, that I wasn't cooking and spending my whole day hoping that when we sat down at the table that I would get compliments for all my food that I had prepared. What I had is yesterday that ease and comfort that God provides when I'm not in the food. My higher power replaced that ease and comfort that I've always been looking for. And I think the last thing I want to say is I've been abstinent off and on many times. I've been in the rooms almost 40 years. But I decided in my heart, in my mind, that I'm not going to die trying to get abstinent. And I'm not going to die from obesity, a heart attack, diabetes, all the things that, you know, I have to look forward to if I can continue to compulsively overeat. So I'm very, very grateful this morning. And I remember every day that it's one day at a time. One day at a time. I'm grateful. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Beatrice O. We have time for like a 2-minute share before we close. Would anybody like to share? Okay. Patty.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much, Kathy, for your service, and happy Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving Day, and to everyone. And my name is Patty T, and I'm recovered in North Hollywood, California. You know what I love about this paragraph? Is it talks about no one is too discredited or has sunk too low to be welcomed cordially if he means business. And that's what I found here. You know, that's what I found in this phone line, and that's what I found in the room above Readers Anonymous. And what that has done for me has helped me learn to love myself. You know, there's that thing that let us love you until you can learn to love yourself. And when I came into these rooms, I felt, you know, too discredited. I had sunk too low to be welcomed anywhere cordially, you know, and it all revolved around self. It all had to do with me, you know, I was not enough, I was too much, you know, all of that. And as a result of this abstinence and being in this fellowship, especially over the last 5 months or 6 months, it has just allowed me to see how much this program has allowed me to lean into a higher power through all of you. Like sometimes I'm not intrinsically close to my God, but if I call one of you, you can bring me there. It's like if I hold your hand, I can get there. And that gives me the ability to understand that I do have credit. I have not sunk too low. I can always be welcomed in the eyes of God, no matter what. And that is such a blessing and a relief. And for all of you, I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I hope you have a beautiful day. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty T. Thank you, everyone who has shared and listened today. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Libby E., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Kathy. I'm Libby E., recovered compulsive eater in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.